Crab Feast. You know what it's all about.
This is the Crab Feast. I'm yelling, fuck that. You ain't gotta ask me, cause you can trust that. Every Tuesday, you already knew though. Ryan Sickler, soccer star, JUCO. Above ground, cool goes better than most. Jay Larson, self-diagnosed. Go down low this week, last week. Here we go again, fuck the Crab Feast.
It's the joint.
Another Crab Feast for that ass. Good to touch and
what do you
retouch
do?
Your
you
pitch,
like,
J-Lo.
You have like a touch pitching coach or some shit?
You want to know my secret?
Yeah.
I'll tell you my secret. What I do, I take a very deep breath and I just let it resonate. I don't exhale. I just sort of let it slip out. You know, I'm not going, right. I'm just going, but I hit
like
that.
Someone who's slowly
dying. I find that vibrato. That's pretty much it. I find that vibrato and then I run it to the
get that vibrato,
the wheel
baby. Hey, baby.
Happy Breast Cancer Awareness October, Jay Larson.
Thank you, Ry. Happy Breast Cancer Awareness October to you as well.
Thank you.
Happy Breast Cancer Awareness to all of you out there, Feaster Nation. Great to be here as always. My website, jlarsoncomedy.com, jlarsoncomedy on all social media. As you know, we always donate some money to breast cancer awareness each October. So, you know, and we encourage you to go out there and get checked for all of our
please
female listeners. Go get checked if you have people in your life or a history of breast cancer in your family. You know, get people aware of it and get out there and get it taken care of, you know, because it's just good to keep yourself in good health. So that's something you should totally do. And I'm currently touring right now. So this week, tomorrow night, I'll be in Portland, Oregon at the McMenamins Theater. You know that, 1010. On Thursday, I'll be in Tacoma at the Tacoma Comedy Club. On Friday, I'll be in Wenatchee again at I forget the name of the place right now. 1013 in Petaluma out there and 1014 in Oakland. And I've mentioned it before, mostly crowd work, which means I'll be doing some stand-up and storytelling, but a lot of crowd work. And the shows have been awesome so far. I was out in Colorado, had so much fun out there, three different nights doing a lot of crowd work, met so many great people, so many great feasters. And it always just leads to interesting, exciting things every time we're doing crowd work. So please come out, get your friends, come enjoy, have fun, make it a night. And I hope to see you in Portland, Tacoma, Wenatchee, Petaluma, and Oakland. And the week after that, I'll be out in Phoenix and then Houston and Denver and then a bunch of other dates that I'll announce next week. Hope to see you out there. Sickle Cell.
Ryan Sickler on all social media, ryansickler.com. For local in-town dates, go to my website. But the show I'm promoting heavily is the show at Jimmy's Famous Seafood in Baltimore, Saturday, November 17th. Josh Adam Myers will be joining me there. We're going to have a great night. I keep telling you, there's not a lot of tickets left, so get on it now. Hell, if we oversell, maybe we'll do a second show. So tickets are on my website and thecrabfeast.com. Crab Feast available, as you know, on iTunes, Spotify, Laughable. You can play directly from our site. As Jay mentioned, Breast Cancer Awareness Month, we will be donating a portion of our merch. And we will be putting up our FTCF and At Least Tuesday shirts, correct? On Bonfire, we're going to get those up.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be available and for sale.
They'll
so
available. When this drops, they'll be available. Well, one of them will be available.
Right.
Which one do you want to start with?
Start with the OG FTCF shirt.
FTCF is available today. So go to Bonfire. We'll have it up on our website. You can go over there and get it today.
And if you haven't bought...
It'll only be there for 3 weeks.
Right. And if you haven't bought any of our shirts from Bonfire, the beauty of this is now you can get it in those ladies' cuts you've asked for. You can
different
get it
colors,
in
babe.
Different colors, football style, different V-neck, crew neck, whatever you want. You've got options over there. So you can actually trick out your FTCF shirt in some ways that we have never made available before, which is pretty cool. Same with the Tuesday when we throw that up. And as far as our website, there are still some all JUCO shirts and Touching Pitches hats left. Some of the bigger sizes and smaller sizes of things are still there as well. So if that's you, get on it, because it's gone when it's gone.
You know somebody small, get it for them.
Hey, good Christmas gifts too, by the way. You get it for your Feaster fans and friends and, you know, knock it out for Christmas. Hanukkah too, whatever you want. And if for all Crab Feast related info, for upcoming shows, all that stuff, Crab Feast on Facebook and Twitter. Got some great sponsors back again this week, y'all. ZipRecruiter is here. You know what's not smart? Job sites that overwhelm you with tons of the wrong resumes. But you know what is smart? ZipRecruiter.com/crab. Unlike other job sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't wait for candidates to find you. ZipRecruiter finds them for you. Its powerful matching technology scans thousands of resumes, identifies people with the right skills, education, and experience for your job, and actively invites them to apply. So you get qualified candidates fast. No more sorting through the wrong resumes. No more waiting for the right candidates to apply. No more hiring relatives as patchwork. It's no wonder that ZipRecruiter is rated number one by employers in the U.S. This rating comes from hiring sites on Trustpilot with over 1,000 reviews. And right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/crab, C-R-A-B. That's ZipRecruiter.com/crab, ZipRecruiter.com/crab. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And guys, if you're looking to last longer and go a few extra rounds, and yes, I'm talking about bedroom performance here, get to BlueChew.com. BlueChew.com has the first ever chewable that brings your performance to another level. Check this out. They've got the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so they work. And since they're chewable, they work faster than a pill. All right? You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach, doesn't matter. And this stuff is cheaper than those other two, so this is a no-brainer. Plus, you don't need to go to the doctor's office or spend time awkwardly waiting in the pharmacy line, all right? Because Blue Chew ships straight to your door in discreet packaging. Here's a great deal for you guys. Visit BlueChew.com. Get your first order free when you use our promo code CRABFEAST. All right? That's our promo code CRABFEAST. You get your first order free, and you only pay $5 for shipping. All right? That's Blue, B-L-U-E, chew.com, promo code CRABFEAST.
No promo code needed for this week's ep. This is one we've been trying to put together for a long time, and we're excited to finally have her here. Ladies and gentlemen, for the first time,
Shopalowski!
Welcome to the Crab Feast.
Welcome to the Crab Feast.
That's me doing my own...
No one's done that, I don't think. I like that.
I want to say the same thing, Jay. I don't think anyone's ever crowd cheered like that.
No, not two heterosexual men in one room for me. Never. No,
and
never.
It's also the first time we've ever performed in Wembley Stadium.
Ever. Well, young lady, welcome to the Crab Feast. It is a pleasure to have you here. Long overdue, as we talked about before we started recording. And before we get into all the great stories that you came prepared with, which we love... will you please feel free to promote your social media, your special, everything and anything you want to promote up top, please?
Oh, God, it's already up top. So nice of you. And thank you for calling me young. God bless you, Ryan Sickler.
I know. That's really
I will
sweet.
Marry you next. I'm
number two. I'm all right with that.
Right now, I have a one-hour comedy special out. It's called Stretch It Out, and you can get it on Amazon, iTunes, Xbox, if you're like a 12-year-old boy or if you're just a man.
Don't sleep on
and,
Xbox.
I know. Google Play, Fandango Now. I think there's somewhere.
Is it on Fandango later? Or is that, no. When's that coming out?
Just Fandango Now.
Just now?
Yeah, now. There is no later. Yeah, it's like an on-demand.
Right. Yeah, is it right now?
Yeah, right now, on demand. So you could just, wherever you can buy entertainment, this
Amazon,
is where you can get
iTunes,
it.
Amazon, iTunes, everywhere. It's everywhere. Hulu, everywhere.
Yeah.
It's all over the place.
All over the place.
Where'd you do it?
I shot it downtown at the East West Players Theater.
Oh, cool.
Downtown Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty exciting. I was just telling Ryan, we shot two shows and packed the house. And
that's awesome.
People came in and it's in and out.
Their ass off, I'm sure.
Oh, well, yeah, we had a good time.
I mean, we know Sean from like way back.
Way back.
Yeah.
When I would do the World Cafe show.
God.
You know?
You remember those?
Yeah, of course. Of course. I mean, I feel like it came from like so many Comedy Store comics were coming in because like I met Ernst and Sebastian and Tripoli, and those are like, then I started meeting like comics that outlined from them, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, I've known you so long.
I know. It's crazy. But it doesn't it feel like yesterday when we started doing all that? Or
mm-hmm.
No,
it doesn't.
It does.
Not for me. It feels like I can't even remember it.
Yeah. Like, I really can't remember what I did like 4 minutes ago.
No,
so.
But you blink and next thing you know, it's 10 years.
Yeah, yeah. And then you're in a old age home.
So your special, for sure, go check it out. It's fantastic.
Oh,
your social media, Twitter, Instagram.
It's the easy name, at Sean Pulofsky. Just rolls off your tongue.
Sure does.
Or
Sean,
you can
just, Shawn.
Yes, and then Pulofsky, Pelofsk.
Pulofsky! Get over here! Finish this.
That's exactly. That was
your
my
whole
coach
life.
Always yelling at me.
Get that backhoe loader over here.
What
Pulofsky.
Yeah. What was your coach's name?
I never really had a coach.
No.
I mean, we had,
wait, we did. Where'd you grow up?
Oklahoma?
Yeah.
As a Pulofsky? This is what I want to get into.
You got
a Jewish girl from Oklahoma with a massive gay following.
Yeah.
And absolutely
want to
talk.
I mean, I guess it is
spina bifida.
Oh, my God. I forgot that you had spina bifida.
Yeah. I'm sure that's coming soon, too. I can't wait.
Can we talk about that? What exactly is it?
Her
How does it affect
bifida.
You? And let's talk about spina bifida.
That what?
What is spina bifida and how does it affect
bifida,
you?
Isn't that like water?
She doesn't have
it's
it.
Water
I know.
Like
how?
Around near your
I is should, that what it is?
I should be. It's like water near your spine and near your brain. My father was a
That sounds like a Hey guys, we're water near your spine.
There's one I always get mixed up with the spine. It's somebody you get sick and they say you had
meningitis.
No.
What you're thinking of?
No, it's I have to think.
I'm really
of.
Good
Some
with fans diseases.
Gonna fucking be like, it's this, you idiot. It's like I think spiral is really what the word is, but everybody mispronounces it as spinal.
Neither of us know anywhere near
and
where
I
you're
should
to
know
to.
That because my father is a world-renowned neurosurgeon, so I should know
well,
stuff
Lottie.
About the
Hold
spine.
On.
And
are you fucking with us? Or is that real?
We got a spinal bifida in here. Get in here.
Is your dad really?
Yeah.
Nah,
yeah.
For real.
Rip for
world
real.
Renowned.
Where
spinal
is he
surgeon.
Renowned?
It's seriously, you can't
spinal
even...
Spinal surgeon.
A brain surgeon.
Brain.
Right. Yeah.
Next to the spine.
He seared some neurons of mine, man.
Yeah.
What? Come on.
Yeah.
Is that in Oklahoma?
He's in Oklahoma. He now lives between Oklahoma and New York, but... when they were
What's
doing
that,
like
Chicago?
Spine, when they were doing like spine cell, yes,
that'd be halfway.
Yeah,
much.
That'd be much better.
That's a good bit too.
When Bush had people coming to the White House to talk about stem cell research. Uh-huh. My father was kind of the leader.
Is
in
he
that.
Pro or anti?
He's pro.
Yeah,
yeah.
I would imagine.
Yeah.
Has
yeah.
he told you any like really cool shit they're doing?
Well.
Like?
Well, you know, not
he's
anymore.
Like, look, I made another one
today.
Of you. Look.
Yeah, you see what we did today.
No, not anymore because he's older, so he just consults now. But I will never forget when I was a kid, when you reached sixth grade, and I had two sisters and a brother. And somehow my dad developed this weird tradition that he started himself. As soon as each of us hit sixth grade, he would bring a brain to school.
A brain?
He'd come
an actual
in.
Fucking brain. And he would come in and he would bring a brain.
You
to
know what
sixth
that's
grade,
all about.
And kids would be, you know, I was so excited for the day. I'm like, I'm so cool. My father's bringing a brain. But fucking kids hit the ground.
But a human
People were
brain?
Past a human brain.
Holy
Sean's
shit.
Sean's supposed to have another brother. Here's the brain.
Holy shit.
That's
Unfortunately,
hardcore.
Unfortunately, he rode a motorcycle. But yeah, he.
Fortunately for your sixth grade
yeah,
science class.
Yes.
He didn't wear a helmet.
That's exactly what he would say, too. He'd be like, don't ride motorcycles. Don't dive into. Shallow ground.
Can't see through.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Don't ride horses.
I'm with him on that.
Yeah.
I'm with him on that.
Yeah, he would usually pull up next. He was very cocky, as most neurosurgeons and surgeons are, and he would pull up in his convertible.
What kind of convertible?
Mercedes, and then he'd pull
little
two-door, up.
The little two-door?
Yes,
like,
little
Knots
that
Land.
Two-door.
Little Knots Landing.
I think it was brown.
Right. Brown. Oh, brown. Like 89, the little two-door coupe?
Yeah. Fucking
the
brown.
Flat, with the flat rims. And
yeah,
the, yeah, no.
You know
those,
it.
Those like shiny ones.
You know it, Jay. You know it.
You know it.
And he would pull up next to motorcyclists when we were kids, and then he would.
And back then, they probably didn't have helmets on.
No, and even if they did, especially if they didn't have a helmet, and he'd say, see you in the hospital.
This guy was.
I'm not fucking around.
And you know how hardcore he was? He'd be driving that convertible with a helmet on.
Imagine just some dude rolling up next to you and seeing the hospital. Like,
it's a dick
wow,
move.
Damn, man.
Well, it's
you know something I don't know?
I was just in Colorado and I saw couples riding motorcycles with no helmets, and I'm like, I don't care if the law says you don't have to. And right. I do a lot of dumb things.
Yeah.
And that's just one thing that I think is so dumb. I mean, you know what? I don't ride a bike with a helmet, so maybe I'm just as dumb. Like a bicycle, you know?
Yeah, but 80 miles an hour on a vehicle between your fucking legs.
Yeah,
I mean,
but even...
You got a tiny shot if you fucking wear
yeah,
a helmet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
well, even 30 miles an hour or 10.
I mean, I watched my brother drop his bike. So I was driving behind him. He had a little Yamaha. I was driving at the time my girlfriend's car. She's in the passenger seat. My younger brother's in the back seat. It's a little Subaru Justy, a silver one, 4x4. And we're on these country roads, and we're going into this hairpin to the left, and my brother's in front of us. And the day before, it had rained, so there's a bunch of, like, just soil collected on the edge of the road.
Soil?
You know, there's no no guardrail or anything.
I love
there,
how
we
took
know?
All Listen, this in. Hey, man, you still got that soil.
That's what it is.
Into agriculture now.
Well, you got to look for that shit when you ride. You
really
have to look
it,
for
son.
That. There's little beds of like silt almost. You know
yeah,
that fine shit. There's no guardrail. It's just a white line and just like up in Petaluma, you know, then grass.
Yeah.
And he took the turn too fast.
Oh, God.
And it was like somebody was under pulling it. Like it just went boom, dropped down. And he cracked his fucking head. He had a helmet on. Mm-hmm. And when he got up, we looked at that helmet, and I mean, it was just
shattered.
It wasn't shattered, but it
destroyed.
Was just like a pterodactyl just fucking drug its fingers down the side, like a T-Rex. Just and we were like, that would have been your fucking skull and face. You know, the handlebars were completely crooked like this.
How fast was he going?
Not even that fast. Like, he was slowing down
He's
as
lucky.
He was going in, so maybe 30, something like
He's
that.
Lucky.
Not terribly. He was, and we watched it, and I was like, holy shit! So I pulled the car around, made sure nobody came in that corner, and.
Total
yeah,
my Subaru.
It was gnarly. It was gnarly.
But you know what? You never see. I mean, especially out here in California, never see the motorcyclists coming. Like,
oh, honestly, I don't even get me started on traffic when they're just like going. If we're stopped and you're going through, fine. I still hate it because they're like, right, you never see
so
him.
Loud.
But when you're going like 40 and they just start zipping through the middle like they have the right to, it's like, fuck you, dude. You don't that can't be legal. It cannot be. If everyone's going 40,
crazy.
I've had them come through the lane back in the day when we would drive to Ontario back and forth Wednesday through Sunday, you know, and Brea, you'd always be sitting in bumper to bumper traffic. And I've had them come through and beat down the side of my car with their hand telling me, hey, you're you know, I'm in my lane, but I'm creeping over. I wasn't like pulling out, but they didn't think they had enough room to squeeze through, so they would beat the side of your car.
So you're
scare
at, you're
the
at
shit
fault.
Out of
yeah.
me. Scare the shit. You don't know that's coming.
Have you guys ever been to Vietnam? And I don't mean the war.
It's hell of a left turn.
I mean, I don't know what we're talking about here.
Because
no, I know there's bikes everywhere.
Yes, I don't mean Da Nang.
I have not been to Vietnam. I'm assuming you have.
That is a shit show of bikes and the traffic there, and there are no rules. There are no regulations. There are no lanes.
I watch those videos of people just all coming out at the same time.
And, I mean,
oh,
but what's
crazy.
The craziest shit is they will have, it's not just one person on a bike. It's a family of five.
That's what I've heard.
And I'm not talking like, I'm not talking, it's just, it's not even five adults. It's a mother, a father, maybe a 14-year-old in the middle, maybe a 5-year-old in the middle of that. And then the mother, all right, she's got a baby maybe dangling from her right arm. And then on the front of the head, on
the handlebars,
they've got like the newborn.
Dog.
The newborn.
The newborn.
And
Jesus
no one's wearing
Christ.
A helmet, yeah. But they are wearing the surgical mask because God forbid you get cancer.
God yeah. forbid.
But
the
guess
dust
what?
Gets in your
mouth. Your baby's fucking dangling yeah. on yeah. a handlebar right now. And it's the most shocking thing. And it's just a dime a dozen out there. People
that little baby's like, hey, hey!
Where did Pulofsky go?
Yo, Pulofsky! When did you go there? Was this when your neurosurgeon dad took you?
Oh, no. My neurosurgeon father did never took... He, actually, he served in Vietnam.
He
so
did?
He, when I went to...
As a med?
Yeah, he got right out of med school. And he never talked about it until I went... I was asked to go overseas to entertain the troops in Afghanistan. And yeah. that was
He's
when...
Like, honey, I know what that
he
means.
He came... Yeah, he came forward. He was like, when I was in Da Nang, you know, it was the Viet Cong. Like, he was
My
he
buddy's
was scarred.
Dad was a doctor in yeah. Vietnam.
He was scarred by that. He told me
Did
how, like, they tried
stories?
To shoot down his Black Hawk. He should have died. And... Yeah, he just said it was like the worst experience, and so I
see
said,
my buddy's dad said it was great. Said met a lot of great guys, and
that was Billy O'Connor.
Made a lot of friends.
He made a lot of friends.
A lot of great friends.
Yeah, it was a traumatic experience for him. But I went differently. I traveled with the gay cruises because I entertain many of thousands of gay men on cruises. So one of the cruises,
it's a
couple
gay
cruise.
Yes.
It's about, some of them have 6,000
Holy
gay men.
Shit. It's all men too? You well, not, are you not allowed to bring women?
You are.
Are you allowed to come if you're heterosexual?
Yeah.
I mean, you can come the whole time.
The whole time.
I'm heterosexual. I'm there, but most all the entertainment is gay. Mostly. I'm the kind of the one that broke through that wasn't. And,
How did that happen for you?
Yeah, I want to talk about how a Jewish girl from Oklahoma developed.
How I ended up on a gay cruise.
Well,
with
no, because
6,
like you're
gay
like
following.
Yeah, you're known in the gay community as like a not a gay con.
I mean, in the comedy yeah. world, you're Cher. You're not quite Cher. You're Cher.
I'm Cher. Cher's long lost sister.
You're Cher.
I'm Cher.
How does that happen? Yeah. How do you develop a specific male gay following? Because you have more male gay fans than female, correct?
Yeah.
A lot more,
I mean,
sounds like.
I have a nice, strong, I believe the correct term is LGBTQ
yeah.
boys. Mm-hmm. See? I'm going to drop.
Well, you started with gay.
I said spina bifida. Now I'm saying LGBTQ.
Spiral meningitis.
Yeah, that's
or spinal
it.
Meningitis.
But I said meningitis.
You did, but it's supposed to have the word before it, and that's
There's
what people fuck
There's a spiral and a spinal?
I don't know. I'm not sure which is the right one.
I don't think spiral's in.
But I'll tell you, whatever it is.
Survey says.
I'm looking that shit up.
Steve Harvey's like, spiral? All right.
Survey says.
Yeah, no, I think as a kid, I always kind of turned around, and even in Oklahoma, I fell in love with one of the, I think the only gay guy that was
yeah,
in Oklahoma,
totally.
Heath Riddles. That's a shout out to you, buddy.
What's his name?
Heath Riddles.
You are not gonna believe this. Yo, Heath Riddles, man, dance your ass on in here.
Hey, Heath.
LGBTQ.
Now, for our fans that don't know, this was Oklahoma the State, not the musical that you met him.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah,
it was actually about me.
Yeah.
Sorry, with a friend, John Top. Don't get me started. So I guess growing up in Oklahoma, I remember some specific characters, like my mom's hairdresser was gay, and then every Sunday we would load up the station wagon, and we go for Chinese food, and there was this Gaijin queen named Sean who was in love with my father, and we'd all sit down to go to dinner, and he'd be like, "Oh, Dr. Pulofsky, how are you, Dr. Pulofsky?" And he just and I was always just kind of fascinated with just you know how queeny he was, and I loved him. And I think as time went by and I started to do stand-up, I realized I had more and more gay friends. And I was always just a huge, huge, huge Bette Midler fanatic.
And impressionist.
I loved her. And yeah. she always had this big gay following because she started in the gay bathhouses of New York. And that's how she got discovered. She started performing there with Barry Manilow. I know this is gay trivia 101.
No, I
just
love
let
this.
Me
this
know when
fast.
Your dicks
no,
go
I'm...
limp.
I love
so
all this.
yeah, so she started in the gay bathhouses of New York with Barry Manilow as her sidekick, and she would sing and kind of tell jokes. And then she became this big act, and the bathhouses started just to get filled up with just all types of people and not just gay men and, you know, and towels, you know, just fucking holes in walls. And then to the point where Johnny Carson came to see her there, and then she got brought on The Tonight Show, and then it was really the gay community that made her a superstar.
She's so one of my favorite Seinfeld episodes ever.
She's the best.
Crushed that
she's the best. Yeah. I think, I believe she's, and I will say this, she is the best entertainer of all time. I've never seen anyone who can have an audience in tears in 5 seconds, and in the next, you know, in the next minute, she can deliver a one-liner like none other. But I grew up watching her and just kind of memorizing all her concerts and listening to her. And
what was the initial discovery of Bette Midler? How'd you find it?
I think my mom, you know, like all Jewish women love Bette Midler and like Barbra Streisand. My parents actually were in gym class. They both grew up in Brooklyn. And so they both were in, my mom was in gym class with Barbra Streisand. And I guess Neil Diamond also went to high school.
What part of Brooklyn?
I don't know.
Crown Heights?
The Jewish one?
Yeah, Crown Heights.
I don't want to brag.
It was Erasmus High. I don't
know. Did 10 more pull-ups than Bette Midler ever
Wow.
10 more.
That's a lot of pull-ups.
I did 10 more than Bette Midler. Yeah, so I just, I watched her, and I knew she had a gay following, and I was always kind of fascinated by that. And I also loved Joan Rivers, who also had a huge gay following.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
And then people like Margaret Cho, and then just as when I started to do stand-up professionally, I decided I was going to quit a day job, and I was, you know, I was working, and I was performing at nights, and then when I decided to do stand-up professionally, I said, you know what I'm going to do? I need to develop a big gay following, and that's what
so
I'm
you had a
do.
Plan.
I had a plan.
Wow.
You know, because they say, I guess it's Sex and City, first come the gays, then, you know, come the teens, and then comes everybody else.
Yeah.
And I just was a firm believer, you know, that I saw the loyal following that the gay community was for certain female performers. And once you start performing in front of a gay audience, and for me, there is nothing else like that. You can say anything.
Yeah.
You can get away with whatever you want. You're not going to be judged.
Yeah.
And especially in a time like today, where everything is fucking sensitive, it's balls to the wall. And I can walk and hold my head up high. And I, everything.
Literally.
Lots of balls
There's
to the wall.
There's a lot of balls on those walls.
I have seen those balls.
I'll bet. What's the craziest shit you've seen at one of your shows?
At my shows?
Yeah.
God, I mean, I'd have to say in the gay cruises, the guys will just, they come all fucking, they're tweaking, they're high. To my show, they'll come in like a nut hugger, a bedazzle.
Where the fuck is Lady Gaga?
Yeah, and a bedazzle.
We're on the wrong cruise.
Wait, is it at the point now, though, that when you do these cruises, they're going because they know you're going to be on the cruise?
Some of them will ask, are you on this boat? I want to book the Mediterranean cruise. Yeah. Are you on this boat, Sean?
I'm pretty sure my brother texted me from a cruise that you were performing on. I'm almost positive.
I think so.
I think they were like at a bar with you and like, dude, you know Sean Pelosi? I'm like, yeah, why? And he's like, she just performed on our cruise. She was hilarious.
That's
I'm almost
so
positive.
Sweet.
Are you fucking around?
No, I'm dead serious.
It happens.
I'm dead serious. I've been thinking of it the whole time. And I don't know if it was my bro or there's another couple that they hang with that my wife and I love, and it might be them. But I'm like
Chad and Chad.
I can't I can like see the memory, but I can't remember if it's real or just something my brain's making.
No,
up.
I remember that actually.
That's so rare.
Yeah,
it's so wild.
Yeah, but people will come on. I mean, they're there in their element, and I'm there just to support the community. So I'm out and about.
And what are
you doing?
An hour, like a night, or something like that?
Yeah. Well, you'll do. I think. It used to be you do 2 15-minute sets in one night with the other two comedians in a showcase, and then you would do 1 hour just once on the whole cruise.
Oh.
Yeah. So I know someone who started doing cruises, and they're like, I'm like, so what are you doing every night? They're like, now you do one show, and then you do like one dirty show on like a late Saturday night. And I was like, two shows? I'm like, yeah, two shows the whole week.
I've never done a heterosexual cruise, only because I feel like I'd be disappointed.
Yeah.
Because of,
well, what are some of the names of these cruises?
Well, the company that I was working for, they're called Atlantis. So they charter
But they don't have like a stretch it out cruise. You know what I mean? Like
no,
they don't theme
no,
it up.
No, but they are stretching it out in many
places. I say
places.
That because that's your shit.
Yeah, though they don't have a theme. They have theme parties. And then they have things called tea dances, which are day parties.
Yeah.
They're like day parties on top of. So it's like a party on top of another fucking party.
I go to
and then there's the after hour tweaker party. And
yeah, I went to tea dance in P-Town. My brother's got a house in P-Town.
Oh, yeah. Fuck P-Town. I fucking hate P-Town.
Really? Why?
I hate P-Town. And I hate performing in P-Town.
Yeah?
Because you got to bark and all these. It's like you competing against all these other gay entertainers. And they're mostly drag queens. And
yeah,
I fucking don't like drag queens.
I saw one of the greatest performers of my life in P-Town was a drag performer.
Who was it?
She was
Is it Miss Richfield?
Nope.
Because Miss Richfield 1981 is one of the best performers you'll ever see. And she owns P-Town.
No, her name is... it was like Gia... I can't someone just hit
Gia,
me.
Gia, I'm a man.
No, but like the jokes, my brother was like, you got to come to this. I'm like, yeah, let's do it. And the jokes were like, I'm like, that's flawless joke.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I can't remember who. I can find out in 2 seconds. But
yeah. But when you go to P-Town, it's really competitive. They have these little theaters and they're like, oh, Sean, come out here to P-Town. And then you get a cut at the door. But what they don't tell you, well, they do. They kind of try and tell you, you know, we're not going to put you up. You put yourself up. And P-Town's expensive place.
Yeah.
So now you're putting yourself up. And it's like what was like probably the day's end is $300 a night.
Yeah.
And then you're going around town like an asshole. And you've been doing comedy 10 years and you've got flyers and you've got gay guys and nut huggers walking around with sandwich boards. You're doing everything you can.
I can't compete
you're
with
in a hover
rings,
around.
Guys. Come
yeah.
on now.
And you're trying to hand flyers to all these like hottie toddy queens from the East Coast. And some of them, when you're handing them a flyer, they kind of like back off like the Matrix, like you're trying to hand them AIDS or something. And you're like, listen, goodness. Calm down. Like it's just a show. And you know how this works because you come here every summer with your friends.
Right.
So just take a flyer and politely move on if you're not interested.
Here it is. Dina Martina.
Dina Martina, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dina Martina's
great.
She's
baller.
Yeah. Dina Martina's great.
Baller, I laugh my ass off in there.
No, that's a good performer.
Yeah.
But it's mostly drag queens there and then some comedians. But like it would be fun. Like they have different themes in P-Town. Like they have the Bear Weekend.
Yeah.
And that's always fun. Bear weekends are fun. Bears are always up for a good time.
Yeah.
So is that enough gay culture for you?
It's a lot. I want to go back because you said you had a story. You actually met Bette Midler. You met your idol. A lot of people don't get to meet their idols. And I've always, what do they say? You don't meet your idols because you could be let down and all that.
Yeah.
So what happened? Did you have a good experience?
Well, I met her once and then I saw her a second time. The first time I met her, I had just graduated from college and.
Where'd you go?
USC. Mm-hmm. Fight on. Is there any other school? That's Southern Cal, peeps.
The lot of them.
So,
UCLA is the first one that comes to mind for me.
That what?
UCLA is the first one that comes to mind for me.
How about Cal State?
Exactly. I just graduated college, and I went to the School of Theater. It was very productive. As you can see, it's all working out.
Mm-hmm.
And I was cast in this off-Broadway show that came from New York called Dressing Room Divas. And so it was this campy show that had four celebrities stuck in a room. So I got the role of, so in this play or whatever, they have Bette Midler, they have a Joan Collins, a Meryl Streep, and a Julie Andrews, and they're all stuck in a dressing room. So I got the role of Bette Midler because I can imitate her voice and her mannerisms because mm-hmm. I used to watch growing up. So cut to the show's about to open. My friend was the assistant to John Goodman, and the premiere of Gypsy on TV was happening on like ABC or NBC, and Bette Midler was playing the role of Mama Rose on TV.
Mm-hmm.
So my friend went in place of John Goodman to the premiere of that at the like the Roosevelt and the what's the theater that's nearby where they show all the movies and
Kodak?
No.
In LA?
Yeah, it's like Mans? They show all the Disney. It's on Hollywood Boulevard.
Oh, across from Mans.
Yeah.
The Disney Theater.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they had a screening and they were showing.
It's Jimmy Kimmel's right there.
Yeah.
Where they do the Emmys?
Yeah.
But across the street.
No, but it's where Jimmy Kimmel tapes.
The Egyptian.
Yeah. So they were showing Gypsy.
Yeah.
And my friend asked me to come as her guest. She's like, Bette Midler's going to be there and there's an after party. And so I thought, okay, this is it. Bette Midler is she's going to get to meet me and I get to meet, like,
a bathhouse, but I'm going to show up.
Shit. I'm 21 years old. I don't know what I was thinking. So they have the after party. The Sarah Jessica Parker's there. Because just after they had done Hocus Pocus, it was a couple years, and like Kathy Najimy's walking around. And I see Bette Midler, and Bette Midler's, she's very.
And you're probably strutting your stuff a little because you just graduated. You're in an off-Broadway show.
Yeah.
You're playing her.
Yeah. This is it. This is all the ducks.
This is how it happens, baby.
It's all lining up in a row.
Do you know if she saw you perform as her?
No, she definitely did not see me because we hadn't opened up yet.
Polanski!
Yes. There you go. And I was going to invite her. Like, I just had this whole plan. So there we were at the after party. I see her, and in person, and I'm a short person. I'm about like 5'1.5". She's about 4'11", possibly. And she's really, really tiny in person. So she's holding court. There's about four people she's talking to. And I'm kind of standing a little bit behind her. I'm standing behind her, and I'm just kind of rehearsing what I'm going to say to her, because this is going to be our big moment. And then this is going to help my career, and they're going to happen. So I'm rehearsing. And there's just kind of this gay guy next to me, and I can see, like, he's just kind of in, you know, gays are circling. Everyone's in a little bit stalker mode. And at some point, she just doesn't stop talking to these four people. And I remember to myself, well, if I don't talk to her now, I'm never going to talk to her. Mm-hmm. So like a complete asshole, she's mid-conversation. And I'm thinking, you got to do it. You just got to say your piece. Mid-conversation.
No, I love doing Hocus Pocus. I'm sorry.
It's worse. Yeah, it's pretty close to that, Ryan. Pretty close. And I can remember this in slow motion, just... I come up from behind her.
Behind her. So you're looking at everyone else.
Yeah. I did not have a picture from behind her in my head.
I tap her. I touched her. I tapped her on the shoulder like I knew her.
In the middle of her story.
Yeah. And she's in the middle of talking. She's like, anyways, I'll just... And like she turns around slowly and she looks at me and then she steps back like, who the fuck is this?
Yeah.
And everybody, she kind of stops talking. She's like, oh, and then she looks at me and I go, excuse me, Miss Midler, my name is Sean Polofsky. What? And I just want to tell you, I can remember this like it was yesterday. I said, this was my monologue. I said, I just want to tell you, your performance tonight was absolutely breathtaking. And then something registered in me. That was like, it was
Fail.
Like,
abort,
it,
abort.
It was like, no, it got worse. It was like a time bomb. It was like, you are talking to fucking Bette Midler.
Yeah.
You are talking to Bette Midler. And so it was like a time bomb. I was like, boom. And then suddenly the decibels, my voice raised like 100 decibels. And then I go, in my eyes, you're a god. And like, you could see her.
You
could visibly see her shrinking, like in The Little Mermaid, when the town people, the weeds, they all shrink into weeds. And you could hear collective gay gasp. Like the queen behind me was like, and it got really quiet. And then
is that her?
It is a river.
Is that the rose?
Yeah.
The rose.
I only wish that started playing. And it got really quiet. And she stopped and she kind of looked around and she looked at me and she goes, goddess, honey. Goddess.
Oh, good for her.
And then she turned back
around. Yes, and did you? That's a pro.
Yeah. With a fucking class. And then I just turned around and I start crying hysterically. Because I was so mortified that I ate Bette Midler. Like, I literally swallowed her whole.
You know what happened when you turned away? Someone goes, who is that? And she goes, her father fucked up my spine 3 years ago. And I've never, I don't know what she's doing now.
Damn, I'll tell you, Dr. Polofsky.
She's the wind beneath my wings over there. That's who the fuck she is.
Yeah. Yeah. And then years later, I was working at Neiman Marcus. Downstairs in the restaurant in Beverly Hills, and a queen came running down. He goes, Bette Midler's in person.
in person.
Oh, man. DVK's like, we got a 399. We got a 399.
Homosexuals.
Better get over.
They were running. Everybody was running.
She's in purses.
She's in purses.
The makeup counter was empty. You that couldn't find hilarious. Us purses.
She was in purses, and I had.
Bet's in purses!
And it was a frenzy. I must have had 15 tables of, like, I think I had, like, Nancy Reagan at a I had the most high-maintenance tables. I suddenly threw the popovers in the air.
You're
I
the second lady right now, bitch. Hang on, bro.
Exactly. I was like, gotta go. Bette Midler's upstairs. And I abandoned all my tables, and I hid behind, I think, Fendi's. And, like,
good
I was
bad.
Like, where's Killjoy?
Sponsored crap.
Yeah. Yeah, I just hid stalking, and she was in a babushka. But that was, I didn't
like,
say
like, was
anything.
Everyone swarming her at this point? Is everyone, like, staking their
can,
area around
you can
her?
See, you well, can the see gay everybody. Men, the yeah, gay right. men were all in full force. It was like a code. It was like DEF CON fucking
yeah,
I'm five.
Sure.
Bette Midler's in purses is
Bette Midler's
such
in
a
purses.
Great line.
My
That's
friend came
so
right
good.
Now, Bette Midler's in purses. That was it.
I can just see you hiding back there.
I was like, hiding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You didn't go back for round three?
I did not. I became friends from working on the gay cruises with the great Bruce Valanche. And, you know, he writes for her. And I told him that story. And he's like, oh, he's like, you're not the first.
Oh, no way.
You're not the first. But I said, God, you know, I'm so embarrassed. And I always try, like, I'm like, hey, Bruce, are you at her car? Are you at Hello? Can I come? And he's like, no, you cannot. Like, it's not a good idea to ever get me in a room with her again. It will never
like...
be. I'll never be calmer. I'll never be calmer. I'll always be that hysterical.
No, I think
her.
You don't think now you'd be no. able to just chill?
No, I will cry. I'm like that around reality stars too. I start
oh
crying.
God.
I profess my like I am weird.
I've witnessed a touch of it. So at the dance show, mm-hmm. when I went to check it out live, I had not seen it before. I went to check it out live. Sean was there. We're hugging and catching up out front and yeah. you know, loving on one another, and we go inside, and I sit up in the balcony.
It's K+8. It's K+8.
She sits on the bench right below the balcony, you know, right there. Her back's against the balcony in the belly room, right? And they had, I don't know who the hell they had.
Jasmine.
They were definitely
Jasmine,
celebrities.
One of my
in
favorite
that world.
Dancers from So You Think You Can Dance.
And every time they announce somebody, Sean is getting up and looking over and just ecstatic.
Crying.
Over these people. Crying.
Crying. Wow. I cried to her. I've cried, believe me, So You Think You Can Dance is my favorite show. And if I meet a dancer from So You Think You Can Dance, it's all over. Like more than, and the only other person I've ever felt that way was about Bette Midler. I also cried when I met Garth Brooks. I also.
You met Garth Brooks where?
At the bathroom at the Ivy.
That's where I met Lionel
Men's
Richie.
Bathroom. Men's
bathroom. I met Lionel
exactly.
Richie in the bathroom.
I followed him. I hear you.
Did he talk?
Right by
talk
the urinal.
Him?
Huh? Yes.
He did?
He couldn't have been nicer. He was talking to my... Well,
I say, you're a goddess. Was this Facebook... what's his name again?
Garth,
or was this like 90s Garth?
It was 90s Garth.
Okay.
It was 90s Garth.
Wow.
And I was...
Big difference.
We were there...
Shameless, bro. That's one of the best fucking songs, that goddamn song.
He was the nicest. He went to the bathroom. I saw him... go to the bathroom because I remember sitting at the table. And it was for
watch
my
tables.
Exactly.
Were you working there?
No. Oh. We were there for my sister's
Garth's
birthday.
Garth's in purses. Garth's in boots. Garth's in boots, guys.
It was the best. And we were there for my sister's birthday, and I remember looking up, and I saw someone wearing an Oklahoma State University sweatshirt, and that's where he ran track, believe it or not, at Oklahoma State University. And I said, if I look up and there's a cowboy hat or a baseball hat, that's Garth Brooks. And then I looked up, and my mom was talking to me. I think I shoved my mom in the face.
Shut up, mom.
And I started running down because I saw he was heading to the bathroom. And my sister had just gone to the bathroom, had left. So I just started, I just remember running in a dress to the bathroom. And I could see down the hall, my sister was already talking to him. And my sister's even shorter than I am. And I could just see her looking up, smiling. And then I ran and put my arm around her. And I go, hello. And he goes, you must be her sister, Sean. And I'm like, I love you. I love you.
You don't even get the yes
no,
out.
It wasn't yes. It was, yeah. I love you. You don't understand. I love you. On repeat, crying like he was a Beatle. That's all I got out was, I love you. You don't understand. I love you. You don't. And he's like, that's very kind of you. He couldn't have been nicer. My sister just had her mouth open, was looking at me like, what the fuck is wrong with you? But
I was getting his tickets.
He's ruined that shit. I love him.
Like, someone get the manager.
Listen, I am a Garth Brooks fan.
He's the nicest. He couldn't have been kinder. All he wanted to do was take a whiz, and then there was two of us just stalking him like wild animals.
Yeah. Sorry to interrupt you guys, but we got to keep the lights on. These days, you can get practically everything on demand, like our podcast. Listen wherever you want, when it's convenient for you. Did you know you can even get postage on demand? All you need is stamps.com. Buy and print real U.S. postage for any letter or any package. All available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Just click, print, mail, and you're done. Stamps.com will even send you a digital scale. You can weigh your letters and packages and print the exact amount of postage every time. Back when Ryan and I were doing shirts way back in the day, we had Stamps.com, and it was literally how we got the podcast started. We were able to weigh everything, package them, and not have to go anywhere but Rye's apartment. That was old school.
That was. That's right.
And it was great for us. If you're looking to get something started or you're just looking for some ease, an easier way to do things, go to stamps.com right now. If you head over there and use CRAB for this special offer, a four-week trial, which includes postage and a digital scale. Do not wait. Go to stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the radio microphone at the top of the homepage and type in CRAB. That's stamps.com. Enter code CRAB.
So you sent us a story here about the cruise. You said the wildest thing you ever did on a ship full of 3,000 gay men.
Yeah.
Is that legit 3,000?
That's three. That's one of the smaller ones.
Really? Remember, what's the biggest you've done?
It's like 62 hundred. Yeah.
Holy shit! That's double this.
That's a lot of gay.
That's quick math, man. That's
man,
good math.
Appreciate
Thank
times
you.
Times two, man. You know what I'm saying?
6,200. But this one was a Mediterranean cruise. At the time, I was
hummus
single.
Everywhere, man.
Yeah.
Hummus all over the goddamn world.
I was the only one eating it because the queens do not eat. So
they don't. Huh?
No, it's a liquid fucking diet. They're just, if they do, it's just skinless chicken breasts. Like the buffets, I'm always the only one at the bend. They're like, are you going to eat all that? I'm like, well, you're not fucking me later. So I don't know why you're like,
that's a great point.
Testing me on my plates. But this cruise, you know, I was single for a very long time. And on these cruises, sometimes, you know, this company, what they do is they charter a cruise line. So they'll charter like a celebrity boat or a Royal Caribbean or a Princess cruise line. And so they had chartered like a celebrity boat. And so what happens is they keep all the workers, the employees from the boat. So you would think that everybody on the boat is gay, but that, of course, that's
not the case.
Not the case, because you've got the employees who work for the cruise line. So that was kind of always my game. If I'm going to be stuck at sea, you know, not stuck, but if I'm going to be at sea around, you know, 3,000 or 6,000 gay men, you know, how am I? Yeah. Where am I going to get my groove on? So I remember getting on this one boat. It was probably like the second day. And it was right after like my first showcase show, and I remember being in the big theater, and I looked over, and this guy was starting to walk over to me, and I could tell he worked for the cruise line. He was in all white, had a name tag, just my fucking type, and I was like, oh, that one. And so he
name
was,
tag, so
yeah,
your type,
yeah,
huh?
Name tag,
Kenny Chesney.
That was it. No matter Walmart, Kenny Chesney. So he's walking over to me, and I see him, and I'm like, okay, game on. And then as soon as he started to get near me, like 10 queens fucking pop, and they're like, hey Sean, listen, we're gonna go to the ball, but you know, let's take a picture. So I got cock blocked by the queens. Oh, Sean. So I turned around, he was gone. I turned to my friend, I go, did you see that guy? He goes, I did. I go, where did he work? Did he work with the stage crew? What was that?
I mean, I've never been on a cruise, so is it the boat that big that you go the rest of the week and never see him again?
Yes, yeah. There are so many people trying to cater to the homosexuals. Yes.
So there's a chance you're never seeing this guy again.
Never seeing this guy again. So I am like, okay, this was a big cruise. If maybe it was a smaller boat, about 500, yes. But this one, I was like, okay, this is tricky. So I went to the head of the spa. I mean, maybe he works in the spa. Maybe he works in the gym. Where would someone? So I'm doing it. I've done the research all week. 10 days go by. Never saw this guy. White Party is the last night of the cruise. White Party, game on. That is when everybody's inhibitions go out the window, if they have any left. So yeah, White so Party's
down
a,
over 10
at the
days.
End of
right?
this shit.
It's White Party, get you got your costume's got to be fierce, it's got to be
dudes
good.
Like, fuck it. What's up, Leia?
Day 10, man, I'll put this dick in you.
Exactly. I dressed up as Princess Leia.
Oh, shit.
Have my Leia game on.
The buns?
Were you, yeah, everything. The buns or the Jabba the Hutt outfit?
No, I didn't. All I right. couldn't do that Jabba
well,
the
Hutt.
That's
a gay party,
yeah.
I figured.
Yeah, so, and it's white, so the
probably
white...
Probably a gay dude probably already had that outfit
he
anyway.
Did.
Yeah.
He did. Tyler was wearing that outfit.
Tyler rocking the shit
Fuck
out
Fuck you, Tyler.
Princess Leia slave.
Bitch. But I wore the famous white gown outfit. I had the buns. And of course, when I put the buns on, I looked like Princess Leyenberger. So I looked like I was going to light the Shabbat candles and just do a little rendition of Lachado D. So I had on my outfit, was ready to go. We're all having a good time. Everybody's drinking. And then I look over and I go into like the VIP booth with the DJs and all the crew, the entertainment that works together. And I see him, he's hanging out with one of the stage managers, and I'm like, and I said, oh, you know, that guy, that's the guy. I turned to my friend who was one of the cruisers. I said, that guy, that's the guy I was looking for that I asked you to find out where he worked. He said, oh, that's the glass blower. I said, well, fuck. No wonder I never saw that guy, because I was never on the highest deck watching the glass blowing
show. What
kind
of glass are we talking about here on this
yes,
show?
Exactly. So
it's a lot of blowing on there.
Exactly.
Glass is probably one of the least things being blown on this ship.
Yeah, exactly. And so he comes up to me and he's like, hey, so we start talking, game on. Everyone knew what was going down. So he said, well, you want to get out of here? I said, okay. And all the gays kept trying to come over and cock block me because, you know, here's another challenge that I'm also competing with the gays to get the straight fucking crew. I'm like, you don't have, what, 6,000 cocks? Is
right.
it enough
yeah.
for you?
It's not.
So now you got to go
no,
for the fucking
not.
Three dudes that could possibly be my game on the boat. So now this is all a challenge.
That's my Han Solo, dog.
Yeah.
That's, back the fuck up.
You could have Chewbacca over there, but I'm taking fucking Han Solo.
It was totally like that. And they're like, hey, I saw your glass blowing show. I'm like, step
oh, he actually
back.
Had a show.
Yeah. They have like the glass blowers put on like some big show and the glass blowing level at the top of the cruise. So he said, well, let's get out of here. And I thought, okay. Now, first of all, when you're working on a cruise line, there's a cardinal rule. You are not supposed to get together with the crew members. They get fired.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean,
they get fired.
Yeah.
But even though you're also an employee, that doesn't.
But I'm an employee with the chartered cruise line, so they are not allowed to get. Okay. I'm considered a guest.
Got it.
So I knew that. He knew that. But hey, it's not my call. That's his call. So he says, well, let's get out of here. We're going to get out of here. Fine. So I said, well, listen, I got to get back to my room first. Just tell me your room number. He's like, okay. Well, it's here. You make a left. You turn here. Oh, blah, blah, blah. I said, okay, I got it. And I thought, he's like, you have to go back to your room? I said, yeah. And I knew I had to go back to my room because, first of all, I knew I had to go back to my room to get the wig cap off under my wig because I didn't want him to be like, look like he's fucking Madam the Puppet. You know what I mean? So I was like, that was like my concern because the wig cap pushes your hair down and then you just look like a bald, weird person, a bald female. So I was like, that was like priority. It was like, I got to get this shit off. So, and then I was like, okay, I just grabbed some condoms. I was like, this is it. I'm going to get down
for you.
There. Right? Always packing. So, and I always packed like at least like 10 Magnum XLs in case I ran into like a Brazilian soccer team when I was traveling. Like that was it for me. Like I always thought I would run into like, oh, hey, what's the whole, you know, Spanish soccer team doing here in this elevator? Okay. So I grabbed my stuff. I go down to the lower level. I'm dressed as Princess Leia still. I just minus the wig cap, but I still got the buns on. I've got everything on. Still ready to go. So, because I said, oh, let me go. Let me rewind. I said, I'm going to go back to my room. He goes, are you going to change? And I said,
I would say, please.
Why?
Don't.
And he
you
goes,
think the revolution's
he,
no. over?
Yeah,
he
please
said,
don't.
Yeah, keep the outfit. And I said, oh, got it. But I didn't want to tell him I was going
to
take off my
about
wig
to
cap.
Have ourselves a rebel alliance.
Exactly. So I get downstairs And I come off the elevator and I start walking and I pass another guy who works for the cruise line, and he's like confessing his unrequited love for this other gay guy who's obviously a passenger, and it looks like they can't get together and they're just both like kind of crying, and I'm like, what's that about? So I keep walking, I walk through these doors, cameras everywhere. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking, how am I going to get away with this? You know, okay, well, I guess because I'm in costume. So I go, I make a turn and make another turn. I cannot find this guy's fucking room. So I go back to the guys that are crying and professing their love. I said, excuse me, do you know where room? Yes. Make a left, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I go back again. This is the second time I'm going with all the cameras seeing me. I knock on a door. Nobody answers. I'm like, this guy gave me the wrong room. So I go back again. I ask this guy who has a walkie-talkie, who's, again, crying with the other guy. I said, listen, help a bitch out.
Get on the horn.
Obi-Wan.
I said,
you're our only hope.
Call it.
That's your Obi-Wan
Queen, I know they're watching you two, but they shouldn't be watching me. So where, do you know Brian, the glass blower? I said, do you know where he lives? He goes, oh, he's in room, blah, blah. I said, oh. He gave me the wrong room number. So it was like one number off. So I go over, his door is open, and I go inside. I'm like, what the fuck? He's like, oh, I was just, you know, living in the quarter next door. I gave you the wrong room number and I moved over here. And he said, I wondered what had happened to you. So shit goes down. We're in his room and those quarters are really small. And he's like 6'8". So he looks like,
damn.
He looks like fucking Goliath on one of the, like Gulliver's Travel on his tiny little bed.
All packed in there.
So I'm thinking,
travel.
And then it gets really crazy because, you know, we're getting down dirty, whatever. And then there's one point where I just start laughing. He's like, well, why are you laughing? I'm like, because I'm blowing the glass blower.
Yeah.
And I'm dressed as Princess Leia. Like, right. this can't be right. Like, there's so many problems here. And then, you know, the night went on, and then finally, you know, it was about 8 a.m. and you could still hear the after party. You could hear the music. The boat is still, you know, all the beds are jumping and moving because the music is crazy. So I said goodnight. I'm leaving. I walk out his door. I walk down the hallway, and I looked up at one of the cameras that they had, and I knew, I was like, well, fuck it, I might as well. And then I looked up at it, dressed as Princess Leia, and I said, help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi.
You're
my only hope. And I was hoping that security was like, well, all right, we'll let this guy get away with it. And that was that.
And you don't know what happened.
Huh?
Did you get
he got away?
Oh. He did.
Yeah. Oh. He actually came to California once. I saw him again, but it wasn't as fun because, you know, it wasn't as taboo to try and get
risky.
Together.
And yeah. It took you 10 days to lock him
find
down.
Him.
10 days.
That's insane.
I mean, I had to look at a lot of nut huggers before we got to that guy.
Yeah, I bet.
And you have a story here about immigration. Is that when you're coming back in off these cruises and stuff?
No, that is with immigration itself. I married a Brazilian.
Oh, okay.
So when they call you in to get the green card.
Was he the fullback or the forward?
So how did you meet your husband?
I had a gay friend said he wanted to come to one of my shows at the store. I'd put something on social media like, tonight I'm in the main room, blah, blah, blah. If anybody wants tickets, I'll set you up. And so, you know, I get texts from people and friends, and my friend said, oh, Sean, I need 6 tickets. And I said, okay, David. And he said, but this time I'm not coming with the boys. I'm coming with the straights. And I'm like, well, you say it like it's a bad thing, David. So David said, well, they're my coworkers. I'm coming with a Russian. I'm coming with an Israeli and a Brazilian. I said, I don't give a fuck about the Russian and the Israeli. But yeah. Did you say Brazilian? Because I like them. I like them brown.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, he said, yeah. And I said, is it a guy? Yeah. Is he single? Yeah. Is he
Does
cute?
He blow glass?
Exactly. That was the most important. Does he blow? Does he blow glass? And so, yeah, he told him about me, and my husband had been in the States for about a year and a half working, and he brought him to the show, and I met him about like 2 minutes before I went on stage. And then when I got on stage, I had some guys from New Zealand, and then and I got foreign guys, and then somehow I started talking about being uncut, and then I said, oh, you know, Rafael, you're Brazilian. You got a sneaky snake. And then and he goes, come on. And so after that, I just, right after my set, I had two more gay friends in town, and we went drinking and having fun. And then I text my friend. I said, hey, you know, thanks for coming to the show. I know you guys stayed and watched. Hope you had a good time. Hope your coworkers had a good time. And FYI, you know, the Brazilian was cute. Again, I didn't really remember what my husband looked like. I was just happy he was breathing. Mm-hmm. He was Brazilian. Yeah. And he said, oh, you know, he would like your number. And so that was that. And then he started texting me right away. And I said, I'm sorry I picked on your sneaky snake. And he said, I got rid of that turtleneck years ago. And I said,
turtleneck.
Well, I said, how did he know that lingo? Because
he did that as an adult. He got rid of it?
At 19.
Oh.
19. He's a fucking unicorn in Brazil because it's all, everyone's carrying their skin, man. Yeah. Everybody's holding it.
So he went under and had it cut off.
Yeah. Well, it's.
What's the healing process at 19? Have you taught, like, how long does that shit take?
It was weeks. He had ice. He had ice his balls in college. His brother had it done at 30.
Oh, because, I can't imagine that late.
Yeah.
Done this afternoon, man.
Yeah.
Just sitting there all calm and shit. Have my dick cut open.
Yeah, well, I think it's just, I don't think it was something he wanted to do, but medically he had to get it done because sometimes.
You can get infections.
It's not infections, but there's too much things that keep you from having an erection. Like I've heard other guys talk about it on other radio shows and whatnot. So he had to get it done so he could like have sex and have erections and I guess jack off or whatever he needed to do. And the brother had the same problem.
Issue.
So that's how I met him. And so when it came time and we got married.
How long ago did you guys get married?
What is tomorrow? Will be 5 years.
Wow. Happy anniversary.
We got married 4 years. Four and a half. Yeah.
Very good.
We got married within 7 months. So when it was
he had to get in the country.
You know, shit. We got married 3 times.
What?
In 1 year. That's like how much I couldn't believe someone was marrying me. So we got married at the courthouse.
You are gay.
Yeah, I know. I was like, let's have another wedding.
Prove it again. So you went and did it legally at the courthouse.
Yeah, before he changed his mind. And then we did.
One in Brazil.
That was the third. We had a big party at my sister's house, like 250 people. And then we had a full-fledged wedding in Brazil about the year of our first anniversary.
Oh, that's tight.
And that was fun.
How was that heavily attended?
It was about 100 and something people. I didn't really have a lot of American friends that came.
So what do you have to go? Because I had a friend, and I've also been offered actually to help someone out, marry them.
Offered?
Yeah.
Oh, to marry them?
Yeah, like they'll pay you.
Oh, you mean to help them get a green card.
Yeah, to help. You're married, legally married, and you have to go interview and answer questions.
You mean to be their husband.
Well, yes, but really to be a citizen.
Right,
of course. It's not anything. It's
a business. How much are you getting offered?
What did I get offered? I didn't get offered a lot. $7,000.
That's it?
Hey, man, don't take that personally, man. It's nothing in
here. That's nothing, though, $7,000.
No, I've had friends that have done that.
What's the high number?
I don't remember what they
got. I had a friend that was offered like 25.
That's probably.
But you got to stay married for what, 2.5 years?
No, it's like, I think it's like 7, isn't it? It's a minute.
Well, you could get your green card. You have to renew your green card in 2 years. So you have to prove you're still together and that it's the real deal, whatever that is, after 2 years. And then that green card is renewed, and then you can apply for your citizenship.
Got it.
And it's a process. Like, I'm sure. Everything legally. We have an immigration attorney. And when Trump came into office, to renew his green card took a year and a half late.
Wow.
And things were so behind. And I was writing Senator Feinstein, and it was just, you know, and he was doing everything right. I mean, he's working within the states. He's paying taxes. We're doing everything right. There was no scam here, but it's just they were pushing everything back. But when we initially, you have to have the interview to get your green card, that was the most terrifying moment. I don't need to get the green card.
No, but I mean, you need to be interviewed as well,
yes.
Like to prove that you're a couple. That
yes.
Sort of, like
sure.
They ask you questions like favorite food and shit. Like, what do they do?
Make out. Go ahead and make out.
Pulaski.
Blow this glass right here.
Was that you dressed as Princess Leia? So we went in there and you know, we know everything we need to know about each other. And the immigration attorney sits behind you. And so as we were waiting in the lobby to be called out, you can see people coming out of their meetings with the immigration officer. And it's obvious what the fuck is going on, because it's gay guys and like Korean girls that don't speak English. And they're like hugging their immigration officer, the person interviewing. They're like, thank you so much. We're so happy. And, you know, it's obvious things are a scam. And everyone all looked happy. And then we're sitting in the lobby, and then this woman opens the door, and she's like, Pawlowski, Oliveira, whatever. And my immigration attorney goes, oh, shit.
Oh, no.
We got her.
Oh, no.
And I was like, what? And we walk in, and I think she was like Haitian. She had a piercing of Jesus.
Like a cross or the actual
Jesus on a cross in her nose. And I'm pretty sure Jesus didn't want to be there.
No,
was
not
my
on the
guess.
Nose, yeah. I'm pretty sure.
But I saw that and I was like, oh, fuck.
It's too bad she wasn't Haitian.
No.
Because then you would have been dialed.
No. And they have see-through windows on each side, so you can see the other people being interviewed, smiling and laughing. And we were in this hot box of like hell. And I am dressed to the nines. You know, I am just dressed like I had just been to Ann Taylor. I look very conservative. My husband is in his John Varvatos lavender shirt, yeah, with just this beautiful suit and tie. So he's sitting there, and you know, she says, you know, I will ask you yes or no questions. Do not answer anything. It's all yes or no, unless I advise you to answer the question. So she starts with me first, and I've performed in front of thousands and thousands of people, and I don't think the nerves, what had happened to me in that room, I've never been, except the time I ate Bette Midler, I don't think I have ever been so fucking nervous in my life, because she was scary. And the first thing she says to me, she goes, where do you work? I said, I'm self-employed. And she said, I said, where do you work?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. You have to say yes or no to that question.
Well,
right?
You know, yeah. She says, do you? Yes. And then she said, where do you work? I said, I'm self-employed. She said, I'll ask you again. Where do you work?
Good Lord.
And I thought to myself, fuck, I'm not going to say gay cruises.
Yeah.
This lady will light me on fire. And then I said, the comedy store. She goes, address. Now, I have worked at the comedy store at that time for like 12 years. And I thought to myself, holy shit, I can tell this woman, just go down Doheny, make a ride on Beverly, totally. Take La Cienega, and then take Fountain because it's easier. And I thought the address, I knew something. And so then I just, in my head, I panicked. I gave her a movie phone number. I'm not kidding. I go, 555-4869 Sunset Boulevard. That's 555-4869. I gave a movie phone number, and I thought, fuck, you're giving her a movie phone number, but I just committed, and so she wrote down the movie phone number. And then she turned to my husband, and she said, what was the first day you came into the United States? And I'm just kind of looking straight, you know, because I'm so nervous. And if I get really, 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 really nervous, I start laughing uncontrollably. And it's that laughter, like during the Passover Seder, when my Grandpa Max would start singing all the prayers and we'd all start laughing hysterically. And then my dad would just toss us this, you know, look like see in the hospital.
Yeah.
And we're just sitting there. And I'm looking straight ahead. Again, our immigration attorney is behind us, so we can't even make eye contact with her. And she doesn't say a fucking word. I don't even know why she was in there. And so we're sitting there. She turned to my husband, and she said to him, when was the first day you came to the United States? My husband had been in the United States like a couple times. He knew everything. And he must have panicked. And all of a sudden I hear, what day did I get into the state? Like, he's stuttering.
And he turned Russian?
Yeah, yeah. That's my terrible Brazilian impression. You wonder why I'm not on Saturday Night Live. You're welcome, everybody. So he goes, and I just hear him stuttering. And I'm like, holy fuck, he's freaking out too. And I'm like trying to hold it together. And I'm just like, so she repeats himself, finally gives her a date. And then she asks him, she asks him another weird date. Like, on what date did you marry or did you have your second? I don't know. She just starts throwing dates at him and not like anything about living together or family or friends. And I remember he starts, she said, the second time you came in, you know, what was the date? And he goes, whoa, whoa, whoa. He starts going, whoa, 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 again. And I make the mistake of, I'm like, don't look over, don't look over. But I slowly turn to just look at, you know, I want to see what the fuck meltdown,
right, what's happening,
what the meltdown's about. I look over. His lavender shirt with his tie is soaked. It's not just armpit sweat.
Yeah.
There is
neck
one
sweat and shit.
It is one half of his body looks like someone threw they did the bucket challenge. It looks like someone did the bucket challenge and his John Varvatos lavender shirt is soaked. And I, at that moment, I could feel the pressure of the laughter coming, you know, coming from like, and I start to go, oh my God, it's coming. I'm going to laugh. And our marriage is going to be over.
Your lawyer's like, objection!
And she can't see me. And so I start, I open my purse. I start doing fake purse business. Like there's something like the treasure,
space
the map.
Work,
yes. Yeah. Fake. Space we work. Call it when women that's don't exactly. want to make eye contact enough. We do fake purse business. So my space work was killer. And I'm looking for that treasure map, whatever it is, because I know if I don't look down and bring my brain down, I'm going to be laughing hysterically. And then there's going to be no green card. So finally, this is all done. We have three wedding albums of three weddings. And she goes through one, the one that was the biggest. She points to one gay guy in a picture. And she turns to my husband. She goes, "What's his name?"
Like you. I could just say Enrique.
My husband goes, "Whoa, and I'm like,
"William."
Yeah, he didn't know because there were 200 gay men at that party, and he doesn't know every gay dude's name. And I was like, "He doesn't know. He didn't remember there were 250 people. He was just meeting people." And so then we have to give her all her stuff and she has to make a decision.
Well, you give her your stuff, meaning what?
Like
paperwork?
We give her our paperwork.
Here's my Bette Midler.
Yeah, you give her this whole folder.
Some glass I had blown up on this ship back in the Bahamas.
Here's my Princess Leia outfit. I'd wash that if I were you.
Yeah, I wouldn't touch that.
Yeah, no.
Here's the wig cap.
Yeah, the wig, Madam's wig cap. And so, yeah, you give her your birth certificate. You give her everything. And then you hand her.
Here's my husband's foreskin. Yeah. Check the DNA on that.
Here's his brother's, too. Right? In case you want to.
It's a little older. But.
The cousin kept his. So. So, yeah. You have to hand her your license.
It's my husband's foreskin. Imagine a little Ziploc snack bag, a smaller one.
We cut off a little piece every year. Fry it up.
On our anniversary, we take it out of the freezer.
Oh, we put in a little piece of that wedding.
Some one of the three wedding cakes we've had here.
We had to buy another freezer.
Here's my husband's foreskin. Oh,
we put a little bit on each one of the little grooms on top of the cakes.
Oh my God!
All these grooms are uncircumcised on these cakes. Well, if you would have done that, boy, here's my husband's whip. She'd have been like, you know what? Y'all are definitely married.
Okay. You guys are okay.
Let me just stamp these papers. Here, go ahead. Welcome to the country.
After I handed her my husband's foreskin, I handed her my license. And I thought, God, I've got to say something. Like, I just got to get this lady to crack once or something.
Especially as a comedian.
I mean, I was dying. She had nothing in her. And
that's that one audience member. You're like, I'm going to fucking get your
ass. I looked at her and I said, well, I said, you know, because you have to put your hand on the Bible and say, you know, you're not going to. And so then I handed her my license and I said, you see that weight? I go, that I did lie about. And she just did like a, you know, just a fast little smirk. Like, I'm not amused. It was like very, and that was it. And we stepped outside, and I thought, fuck it, we're never, she's going to not allow the green card. And then she came out, and she said, congratulations.
Wow.
And that was it. And we, of course, we weren't hugging her, but that was a real bitch. I really felt like that was it.
Under the gun.
Yeah.
Whew. Man.
Did she have
gave
an accent?
Me anxiety.
That what?
Did she have an accent?
Yeah. But it will sound like a Russian again.
Yeah,
it'll just sound like, what? What day did I come in?
What day did I come in?
Vladimir.
You, on your list, you just wrote my biggest fear.
Flying.
That's all you said, and I wouldn't tell you. I mean, I didn't want to ask you. It's flying?
Flying. Dying.
How the fuck
dying.
Do you do it?
Dying
while flying?
More people have died in cruise ships in the last 10 years than
that's
flying.
That's probably true.
They're usually on the gay cruises, too, because there's always about one or two people that die on each cruise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, didn't a few of them sink like a
yeah,
few
that's
years
what I'm
ago?
Talking
like
about.
They fucking sunk
off
out
the
there.
Coast of Italy. Sink. One's mm-hmm. still sitting there.
That's yeah. right. That guy was just like, fuck. He remember he
Battalion.
Got in the boat and left everybody.
He sure
he abandoned
did.
Ship.
He
that
sure
motherfucker.
Did. He went to jail for that.
Couldn't have been a real Italian, I'll tell you that. Probably somewhere else living.
He's America. Actually right here. I was like, Mona! Know his name.
Come on in and bring the pizza.
Have you had a close call? And is that why? Or have you just always been afraid to fly?
I've always been afraid. My oldest sister's afraid to fly.
She wears a helmet when she flies.
Exactly.
Loves Garth Brooks, though. Huh? She loves Garth Brooks with you, though.
Yeah. It was... it's something that just developed with time. And I guess because I... You know, you hear about people like, but it's small planes too. It's not
but
just
you're
big
a comedian
planes.
And you travel, so you must be in a plane, what, every 2 weeks?
Yes, but I don't have the control. I can only fly the plane with my brain so much. And I try and concentrate. And here's the thing is, like when there's turbulence.
What are you talking about?
Like you
now
have
I'm starting to think about all these people that are sitting in their seats mentally controlling shit up there, freaking me out. Like,
I'm
stop,
trying.
Man.
My
you don't
sister
know how to
said
do
you
that.
Try. You
man,
just,
she likes Pawn Stars. Look how intense she is over there.
I'm just trying to concentrate and make sure, like, I don't really want to go to sleep. I want to be aware. And if there's turbulence, I'm trying to make eye contact with anyone on the plane. Like, are you feeling this? And
oh,
are you
God.
Aware of what's going on? And meanwhile, everyone's just still laughing to Cloudy, you know, with the chance of Meatballs Part 2.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why are you laughing right now at a cartoon?
Because I'd be like, you talk to this bitch in 8D. She's staring at me. And I don't know.
Right. And I have a fear of like dying in a fireball. And in small planes, especially, the fact that I went overseas to entertain the troops and they put me on a 5-seater in the winter. And I, in order to get on that, I was traveling with Pete Gray. Do you remember Pete Gray? Comedian Pete Gray?
I don't think
sounds
so.
Familiar.
The name does sound familiar.
I feel like I'm
but...
combining two comics.
Well, Pete, I said, oh my God, Pete. I'm so afraid to get on this plane. I can't. That was probably the most fearful I ever was. And he said, oh, I have a Valium and I had never taken anything like that. And I said, I need whatever this is. I cannot get on this flight. And he gave me the Valium. I remember taking that. I think within about 20 seconds, I go, Pete, what's in the Valium? And I was
out.
They carried me off. This was the first base we went to. They carried me off the flight.
Holy shit.
I don't know what he gave me.
You roofed your ass.
I don't know what he did.
He's like, I'm not listening to this for 4 hours.
Yeah, but that's...
Hold on, let me get my other value.
Yeah, and that's just about what... That was like the smallest plane I ever took, and I won't go on anything... I won't go on anything like that again. But there was one time when I was coming back from entertaining the troops and I was with Ruben Paul and, oh my God, what am I? I am blanking. He was the blind Mexican cop, Patrick DeGear.
Yeah, of course.
Patrick DeGear, Ruben Paul. So there we were. It was like a black guy, a blind Mexican.
Well,
and
Patrick
a Jew.
Used to set up those military tours.
Yeah.
I almost died on one of the flights that
yeah.
he set up.
Yeah.
He was the guy that set that
yeah.
up.
That's the craziest.
Yeah,
imagine if she was on that.
Oh,
no.
My God.
He put me on a flight going to Guantanamo Bay. And I remember.
Cuba?
Yeah. And I said to him, what airline are we flying? He goes, oh, I don't really remember. We get to this airport and like. Orlando, we go through like Harriet Tubman's underground tunnel. I go, where the fuck are we going? Mm-hmm. And it's an airline called Sunshine Air. Now I'm pretty sure Sunshine Air equals Fireball. And I was like, there was one Jamaican guy behind the counter. And it was like a 15 seater, and it wasn't private seats. It was like bus seats.
Mm-mm. What? Oh yeah, yeah. You mean they go in long ways?
Butch Bradley.
It wasn't a military plane?
No, I don't know what it was. And I know
National
at the time
Guard. This might have been a National Guard plane.
I think there was duct tape on one of the wings.
That's how I felt about the one I was on for real.
Again. It was a deep set panic. Butch Bradley had to talk me off the. I was flipping.
I love Butch Bradley.
He's great. Poor Butch Bradley had to talk me off the ledge many times. There was one time we got stuck off the road in Afghanistan, and our convoy got in an accident with some Afghanis in a car, and they drove off. And like the truck that we were traveling in a convoy with a truck who had a big tank on it. And they just didn't take us to the base. So we were stuck on the side of the road for about an hour. And Butch and I went from like zero to 100. And all the cars started to slow down. People were getting on our phones. And I remember Butch turning to me and he goes, do you remember how to shoot the M-16 like they taught us? And I'm like,
they taught you that?
And I go, what's happening? Do I need to take a Valium? And he's like, no, Sean, I need you to be aware because what's going to happen is I'm going to drive this truck. I'm like, I'm going to run into the, we're going to die. Butch, I mean, that was it for me. I definitely thought that was it. I was like, my dad was right. Do not go to a war zone. And I thought, I'm going to be dead. That was the one time when I was overseas entertaining the troops. I thought, this is it.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
They didn't care that they were like, we had to stay with the rest. And it got so chaotic. They couldn't control the traffic. There wasn't any special forces around.
I'm sorry, man, but when you get an accident, you wait for the police to arrive, okay?
Yeah, that was that. But there was one time where I was traveling back from Djibouti with Ruben Paul, Patrick DeGeer. They put us on Ethiopia Air.
Great airline.
Great airline.
Another great airline. And at one point.
Two for one. They're running two for one right now.
Yeah.
Use code CRAFT.
And I remember in the Djibouti airport, the same guy.
Code CRAFT for a fucking airline. There's no TVs. It's just a guy acting out shit.
No,
like doing like
they
a mime.
Giving shit
mime
out. Nothing, man.
You see that guy glass blowing up front? Damn, they got full entertainment on here.
Oh my god!
Anybody want some extra skin? We're passing out skin.
Foreskin. I don't know what this discount code is.
I just wanted to get the fuck out of Djibouti. We had been traveling for 3 weeks. I had a New Year's Eve show to do. And we had to fly like five different airlines to get home. And we had gone to the Djibouti airport one time and they like delayed our flight and we couldn't go back till the next day. And then the next day, we're also tired. We're finally going. The guys went in front of me. And then to get into the airport, the security guard stopped me and just to get into the Djibouti airport. And he goes, no. And I go, what? And he goes, no. And I'm like, no. What do you mean, no? Like, because I'm a woman? I can't get into the airport? And the guys had already gone, and I started screaming. I'm like, fuck you. And I'm screaming. And there's some
That's
of my
That's a good reasons. Way to get in.
Yeah, people right. are like, ma'am, this guy will kill you.
Yeah, right like, here.
It was crazy. So once we finally got into the airport,
your immigration officer can lose. What's the problem here?
So the guy that takes your luggage in the Djibouti airport also is the TSA guy, and
oh,
also
he does it all, huh?
I'm pretty sure was the captain on our Ethiopia airplane. Because I was like, yeah. I keep seeing the one same dude, so I was already 10 steps ahead. So we're on Ethiopia Air. I am not kidding. The flight dropped.
So wait, is that why they didn't want to let you through, because you were a woman?
I didn't have a conversation with the African guy that seemed so willing and able that I think worked for like... he probably was holding all those young girls. What are the name of the group? Why can I not think of the name of the girls that were held from the school? He was one vile dude. I did not deal with him. But once we got on this plane and we're sitting there, and
who got you through?
The guys came back. The comedians came back because they heard me screaming, and someone went and got them, and they came back. And then they grabbed the head of the airport to get me back
the
in.
The head of the airport?
The head of Ethiopian Air. Same guy.
The guy who had to pull us off our plane the day before.
Out of the cockpit and go
There's one guy runs the airport who also, I think, flew the plane, who took our luggage. And the day before when we tried to leave, he pulled us out from where we were waiting for like 3 hours and pulled us. He took us to this private room, and I didn't know what was going on. And we're sitting in this room, and I yelled, "This is a shakedown."
Oh my God.
And I know I'm the most hysterical person. And Ruben just looked at me like, "What are you doing?" He goes, "Why are you yelling? This is a shakedown." I'm like, "I don't trust the situation here. What's happening here in Africa? This is all going down." And the guy pulled us aside because he said, "Your plane isn't moving, so you know you'll be stuck. If we take you, you're going to get stuck in Kenya. There's not going to be a connection, so you're best to stay at the base." And that's why he had pulled us off. But I didn't know. See. So finally, the next day, we get on this plane.
Guy's saving you,
trying to help you.
I know, but I didn't
know. Going down. Hey,
I'm with you on that too.
I'm an alarmist at all times, so you probably don't want to travel
how you stay
with
alive.
Me to a war
I
zone.
Definitely
no. But here we are, Ethiopia Air. We're on our plane. I'm sitting in front of the guys. They're in the back. They're behind me talking. The plane drops. I'm going to say about 1,000 feet.
Oh,
it's
no.
It's all women. It just drops straight down. It was like a roller coaster. I can't even explain it. But
it's happened to me
seconds?
On a flight. That's happened to me.
How many seconds?
Not 1,000 feet at all. That motherfucker realistically probably dropped 20 feet, but it felt like 200.
Whew,
but it's one of those where it does. It sucks down so hard that if you don't have your seatbelt on, you're going up. Like it pulls you up.
I get it.
And it was all like Muslim women
like,
on this flight. Like the guys were like the only guys on the flight. It was all women. And people, you know, were panicked. And my initial reaction was to stand up and yell, "We're all going to die."
You are crazy.
My God.
I swear to God.
Stood up?
I was like, "We're all going to die. We're all going to die."
Someone said that on my flight. I would
came
freak
out,
the fuck
out like a hysteria.
Eventually. I hope not right now.
and then again, I had Ruben going, "What the fuck?" Pulaski.
Oh my God. So shake down, I told you.
What is wrong with you? I'm like, "Oh, you just think it's normal? You don't think that Ethiopia Air could just turn into the biggest fucking fireball?" And then later we sat down. I was like, it was years later, we were at the Laugh Factory, and I was telling that story to the booker at the Laugh Factory. Her mom worked for the government. She goes, "The government flew you on Ethiopia Air?" She's like, "That airline crap." She said, "It's a bad, they don't even let the government workers fly in that." So you probably had a real feeling that could have been.
Man.
So ooh. I did not feel bad for yelling. We're all going to die.
I don't understand what. Why are you're lumping everyone else into your own fear?
But it was a legitimate fear.
I know.
The other women
were
screaming.
That's hilarious.
But I didn't know that was in me to yell out. But I don't want to go that way. I don't want to be Aaliyah. I don't want to be La Bamba. I don't want to be John Denver, and I don't want to be
Stevie Ray Vaughan,
and I don't want to be John F. Kennedy Jr.
John F. Kennedy Jr.
That's it.
I'm almost 100% positive it was Patrick that put me on that military gig, and we flew out of up north, out of Ventura, mm-hmm. to this little island. You've probably been
St. Nicholas.
Yeah, and it's got like its own weather out there. Like, it's crazy.
It's got its own weather?
It has its own weather. Am I lying?
Yeah.
It's got its own weather pattern. It's fucking, it's weird. It's like
a haunted island, too.
Yeah, it's
haunted as shit.
It's so bizarre.
It's only a military base?
It's a military base where if you have money, you can also come out and fire missiles and shoot missiles and shit. And there were these Middle Eastern guys next to us that were doing it. And we're like, "What the fuck are you talking?" This is what they're telling us, this shit. Like, you can come out there and do all kinds of shit. It's way the fuck out there. It can be beautiful here, but it's got this dark overcast. It feels haunted.
Yeah, like, has anything to do with the missiles they're shooting off?
It could.
It is haunted.
You've had an experience on it?
Tell us. I had a weird experience there. The only time I've ever had experience with anything that was haunted.
And it's like this weird, like it feels creepy.
Like
all the barracks are weird.
There were like some, it used to be like an Indian. There was some, I asked the head Marine guy that ran the bar that you perform at, mm-hmm. and he was this kind of stoic guy, as a lot of Marines could be. And I said, "Can I ask you a question? Is this base?" And he goes, "Haunted?" And I was like, "Ha." Because where they put you up, it's kind of like these barracks that are like kind of hotel-y, but
yes,
not really
but
a
creepy,
hotel.
Yeah.
Really creepy. And I was watching TV at night before I went to sleep. which I don't really usually do, but I did. And then I put the remote control next to my bed. In the middle of the night, the TV came on so loud. And the remote control was across the room.
No! Was it?
And I was like,
we're all gonna die!
Exactly. And I have, at that time, I had been watching Psychic Kids with Chip Coffee, the gay medium who was always on A&E.
You are not gonna believe this. Chip Coffee! Hey! Get your psychic ass in here, Chip.
Hey, Chip.
Here, Chip. What's up, Chip?
Chip Coffee would, and he would always be on these shows with these kids that could see ghosts and demons, and he would kind of coach and teach them how to deal with seeing ghosts. And he would always say, Jessica, and he's like, what are you seeing? She's like, I see a ghost. He's like, tell the spirit to stop.
And that's Rise Technique. That's it. And get out. Like, you're not welcome. Leave.
Yeah. And he'd be like, stop. Say, stop it, spirit. Stop harassing.
I say that out loud all the time at night. If I hear some weird shit and I'm like, mm-mm, get out. None of you are welcome. And everyone, out.
Dad, it's me, though.
I do it all the time.
Sorry, girl. whoa, it's me. but I just remember watching all those shows. And so I was incapacitated. I remember I was so fearful because, again, yeah. I'm a victim's victim, apparently.
When you're disoriented, it's
and
fucking loud.
I remember
loud.
My body was, I was frozen.
Like, wait a minute. So you got freaked out because you're getting woken up. It's super loud. And then you go for the remote and it's not even there.
No.
I
was so scared. And then I yelled, stop it, spirit. Stop harassing me. And then I shut off the TV and I couldn't go back. I was scared.
No. I wouldn't have shut that, but I kept the TV on, the lights on, all
yeah.
of it.
He told me sometimes the spirits stacked the chairs in the morning on top of each other at that place. I said, he goes, what did they do? Did they turn on the TV? He goes, because sometimes you can hear footsteps. He goes, when I first got here, they fuck with me at night with the TV. So I felt legit. When
all right.
I saw that.
It's just a creepy, super creepy vibe over there. It really
it is.
And we were getting on this flight, and it was all banged up. It was a beat up
what
plane.
What kind of plane did you take on over? Do you remember?
It was about a 30-seater.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a fireball. It was a fireball.
2x2.
Yeah.
About 30. That's about right.
But like fireball. A military plane.
Military plane.
Yeah. So like a 30-minute flight?
Yeah.
And not like nice seats and shit. It's just mm-mm. like, yeah.
Ripped up Greyhound shit, you know, yeah, stuff yeah. like that. The flight attendant, which they actually did have, mm-hmm. She had a jumper seat in the back, like a Murphy bed, you know what I mean? Folded up
yeah,
on the
I
wall and pulled that shit down. And we're all
why
flying.
Why they have this a 30-minute flight? What, was she bringing out cocktails?
No, but she would tell you how to do the buckle. Yeah, you know, by law, they have to have somebody tell you
we're
to do
have
that
to use
shit.
Her as a flotation device later.
But it's yeah. packed. This flight is packed. Yeah. And it's full of, you know, the cooks and stuff that work mm-hmm. there going over and stuff. And this tire looks fucking flat when we go to get on. And I say to the guy that's in charge, his wife, I'm like, that tire looks flat. And she's like, it does look flat. And we get on. And we take off.
See the goosebumps?
Yeah, I
do. I don't want to hear that.
And everyone's fucking with us. All the guys that do this are seasoned veterans, and they're all joking about the whole thing. And, you know, we see this black char across the top here inside. We're like, what is that? And they're like, oh, this thing had an electrical fire, and they had to put it out. And they're fucking with us. Like, oh, they belly landed it on the grass. Like, you know, but it's all ragged, you know, and there's a lot of people on it that are scared. And Daryl Wright.
I would have been Road Runner.
Daryl Wright was the one that was scared the most. So they leaned into it and kept fucking with him. And then we start to go to descend, and we're going to land. And
you're descending, huh?
We're descending, and that's what you do, man.
I know.
And you, you know, you can
how
see
how high you think you got. I mean, you're not going to 30,000.
No,
just
no,
keeping
not
it
at
low.
All. Like, I mean, I 13,000. I was going to say 15, maybe. Okay. You know, you could see the ocean easily the whole way across.
Yeah,
you know,
you can see the ocean.
And the thing's shaking, and it's rickety. Like, it's rickety. It you hear all the
you
shit
can see
inside.
The ocean from 30,000 feet.
Not like
man.
This. Not like where you yeah. think, like,
that guy
I might be able to jump out of here.
I did that gig twice, and that was enough.
Mm-mm.
I don't know how he got me a second
so
time.
So we go to land, and this gust of wind takes us. Mm-hmm. And you can see through the windshield of the plane from where we're sitting. And then I started to see all the people that were joking, everything. They shut up. And the flight attendant got up out of her seat, and she quickly walked to the front and then quickly hustled to the back. And the guy
is
behind
this the whole
me,
time while you're descending?
as on our descent, and as I don't know why that's funny, and as they see her walk back like that, they see a look in her eye, and they say to her, "Is everything okay?" And she just looks at them, and she doesn't answer. And then you see all these, they all stop joking, and you see them start to white knuckle there. That's when I got nervous, when I started to see them grip those fucking hand, you know, the whatever you call it, the armrest. And we get blown, like, whew, the plane goes sideways. Okay, so out this window over here, we're seeing runway.
Like, straight at it.
And we're the front of the plane is looking over at the
we're
tower.
We're all going to die.
At the tower.
No.
And they swing us back around.
No.
And they hit. And that tire fucking pops. And we bounce. Boom.
Oh,
boom.
My God.
And they're trying to stop it. And we can see that where the tower is. And we know we're past it. But we don't know how long this runway is.
Oh,
and we
God.
Fucking stop. And everyone is relieved. Like, everyone's like, holy shit. And it's all anyone could talk about. We do the whole show. Every comedian gets up and does it. Everyone in the audience is like, and after the show, they're like, no, that was bad. Like, we really almost died today. That was fucking scary shit. So the next day, it's a one-nighter. You know, you go over, you do the show, you fly back the next day. I'm scared to death to fly. Get back on. It's the same fucking plane.
By the way, I've heard this story a bunch. That tires never pop. So that's new.
You go
man.
Back and listen. I'm pretty sure I've mentioned that tire popping before. And if it didn't, it fucking
can
felt
we ask
like
the tire?
It fucking
is the tire here?
But that flat ass fucking tire did right not here. Help us. So we go back up in the control tower the day we're leaving, and the guy, we ask him, we're like, what happened? And he's like, well, they overshot, and this is where you're supposed to come in, hit, and then you slow down and you stop here. And where you stop, that's where you guys fucking hit.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and,
shit.
Yeah.
Because of the wind?
I guess because they tried to, and I said, we all said, why didn't they just take us back up, circle around? Because I've had pilots do that before where I'm on a big plane, they're starting to go down, and then they go back up, and you're like, fuck, you know, something's there. They don't have a place for you or whatever. So they said, yeah, the military doesn't want to waste fuel, is what they joked about. But we're like, how about our fucking lives?
Yeah, no,
and I was
matter.
Scared to death to fly
all
back.
The military does is waste lives.
I mean, I wouldn't say it's all they do.
I know, but I'm saying, you know.
Yeah.
I was on another plane once. I got hired to do a corporate gig for Connie Stevens, and it was in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. It was an awesome gig for like 5 days, and it was a bunch of celebrities, and you come in, or celebrities. And I got put on this plane, which still had about like 40 people on it, but on the plane was like Virginia Madsen, and Gina Lee Nolan from Baywatch. And then once I saw Alan Thicke enter the plane, I thought, this plane's going to crash. This is
it's his time.
I did. I was like, that's fucking Alan Thicke. And this,
I'm out of here, guys.
And I've been on a plane before where I was sitting in first class, and in walked Don Cheadle, Cedric the Entertainer, and one of the guys who was one of the leads from The Office. And I thought, that is one too many people. That this equals a fireball. So then again, I had to fly the plane, just concentrate for everybody on that flight from Miami. But the one in Jackson Hole, we hit a snowstorm. I turned to the guy, he was some upcoming country star. And I said, listen, I have this fear of flying. And I know we're on this plane with all these people. And he goes, I fly planes. Honey, you're good. Well, we hit something that I was pretty sure was the motherfucking end. And the guy was like holding my hand, and he was like, when we landed, it was so scary. And he goes, he's like, you're fine. This is all fine. And then later he told me, like 4 days later, he goes, that was fucking scary. We should have died.
Right, yeah.
You were right.
Wow. Holy shit.
But I knew the minute when it was, I was like, okay, for Virginia Madsen, go ahead. Gina Lee Nolan, go ahead. Yeah. And then Alan Thicke was like, that was like, I definitely thought that equaled fireball.
Well, you sent here on a list, you said you escaped death 3 times.
Yeah.
Are there three?
I sound like Houdini, don't I?
It sounds like more than three. Are they three separate than what we've heard?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Let's hear it.
Well, first of all, you can't trust her in what she considers escaping death.
Why?
Because she sprung to her feet and yelled, we're all going to die.
That is legitimate. That is on Ethiopia Air.
You know what? I got to give her credit. Ethiopia Air.
A guy was trying to help her not to get on the plane. She's like, fuck this motherfucker.
Yeah, this is a shakedown.
He was trying to tell you, don't get on there, girl.
I knew it was a shakedown. And, Yes, I'm going to stand up because there were 100 Muslim women screaming just like me. So I was not the only one to react. I was the only
one. You were the only one to overreact.
We were all screaming. The only ones that underreacted.
I have a feeling they might have.
Underreacted. People underreact.
I have a feeling they may have started screaming after the white woman got up on the scene and screamed, "We're all going to die."
It was like people. No, everyone started.
They probably thought you were like a fucking assassin or some kind of terrorist. No. Like,
Hitler is crazy.
Me standing up was on top of all the women screaming.
Oh,
God. It was a gut reaction.
I'm gonna ask Ruben about this.
He'll tell you we're all gonna die.
I just texted him today. I'm gonna ask him when he hits me back.
We're all gonna die. Sean, sit down. You're crazy. I know, I remember it. Hale Duffy, he loves the It's a Shakedown story.
I'm
he knows
sure.
If you just text him It's a Shakedown, he'll know exactly what you're talking about. But yeah, the three times I was 16, I'd just gotten my new red Toyota Celica. I remember my dad saying, "Don't wreck this."
Two door?
Four.
Wow.
"Don't wreck this. Don't wreck it." And I was coming back from seeing Dirty Dancing with my friend Heather Cruz, and we were driving.
Did you have the time of your life?
We did. We did. And I did the jump. So, and I guess it had been raining that night. And there was an animal park that you pass, like a nature park that you pass on the way back from the movie theater. And suddenly as I was driving, I thought there was like a deer in the road. There was this big object in the road. And they teach you that. And of course, growing up in Oklahoma, if you see an animal on the road, you know, you got to move or you can get killed. So I thought it was a big dead animal in the road. And I swerved to miss it. And then I lost control of the car. And the car rolled about like six times.
Holy damn. Shit.
And I remember Bon Jovi was playing.
What
really
song?
Loud.
What would you have died to?
Living on a Prayer.
Was it?
I can't remember. Mm. I can't remember. It was blasting and it was still playing as we were rolling, and I could hear the glass breaking, everything crunching. And we ended up on our head and nothing had happened to me.
Wow. Either like, her either?
No. And we end up in our head and she's like, "We got to get out of this car." And I said, "Oh my God, my dad's going to kill me." And then she pulled me out. We got out of the car. She ran into the middle of the road in front of a moving vehicle. It almost killed her.
I was going to say, she's probably all like
she
just
was hysterical.
Yeah.
And then that person she ran in front of happened to be her youth minister.
Come on.
And I mean, we lived in Oklahoma City. It's not a small city. Oklahoma
right.
City's a big city.
Yeah, I've been.
And then he helped us get back home.
What
but
was
I didn't
the
have a
object?
Scratch. Later, my family went back. It was a large box.
A box.
It was a box, but it was like, it was, you know, yeah. And when you're
like
coming
a refrigerator box?
At night, there aren't a lot of lights and something suddenly in front of your car, you know, it's the reaction, but
we're all going to die, you know,
I hit the curb. At,
all of
thank
us.
Thank you.
Two of them in there.
A box almost killed me at 60, like 60 miles an hour.
But you
I
were
hit
16
that
and rolled like that.
Rolled.
That's crazy. That's scary.
So that's the first time made it through that. Then I had another
you're a wild card.
Another car accident on the way to an NBC pilot audition.
Oh.
And I had a commercial audition. I was working a desk job. I had a commercial audition, then an audition for a pilot. And on the way there, someone swerved in my lane. I swerved my car on the 10 freeway going east. My car swerved, did like a 360 across four lanes.
Damn.
My car hit the fucking...
I can't even.
Shit.
I can't even with her.
The car.
In my head, it wasn't a swerve. Someone put directional like, "Man, maybe I'll turn." She's like, "God damn it! We're all gonna die!" Just yanking his car across four lanes. That's what I'm seeing. That's all I can see. And it was probably
we're
a Kleenex
all gonna
box.
Die
it was probably a Kleenex box back in Oklahoma City.
It was LA four lanes, and then my car hit the side the railing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you couldn't get any control back. Was it raining that day?
No, just lost control.
And this was what kind of car?
Like 70. This was a Honda Civic.
All right. Whoa, 98, 2-door, 4-door,
4-door,
4-door, original rims.
Yeah, Yes.
Of course. That's the only way to go, girl.
So hit the railing.
Did you spin or did you
spun?
Did you just go direct?
All right, hold on. You're on the 10 where? What's your...
I'm on the 10 west.
East. You said east.
No,
going
I'm
east.
Sorry. 10.
I mean, what's the story?
She might have been concussed.
Okay, no, I'm coming from Santa Monica, so I'm 10 east.
Okay. 10 east.
And
I'm
where? Heading towards Hollywood. What's your nearest exit?
It was like...
Like La Brea?
No.
What's he, the immigration officer here?
I want to know where you were.
Like Lincoln or like 26.
Oh, okay. You're just getting out of there. Yeah. Okay, I know exactly where you are.
Right. It was like between.
You know
there
what? That is at night
shot,
or day?
No.
Day.
Day.
What
day.
Time?
It's about 1 o'clock.
I mean, that's not a heavily trafficked stretch going.
It wasn't
going east.
It
that
wasn't,
little part
that's
of it.
How I
it gets
went
bad
across,
right around when you
I'm
get to
you,
near
I went
the freeways.
Across three lanes. It was not a busy area. So
you're
I
lucky.
Crossed three lanes. My car spun around. I hit the railing. My car now has stopped. The front part of the car is missing.
It's off.
It's in one of the other. It's in like the second
I
lane.
Can't even, man. It's over there with my wait, husband's wait. Force. Yeah,
but this is the crazy. My car is turned around. Now I'm in the fast lane.
Facing.
Stopped. Facing oncoming traffic.
You're looking at it.
Yes.
Fuck that. And is everyone stopped? Is anyone getting out to
I
help you?
I opened my eyes because now I'm...
Oh, you just closed them?
All I can picture right now is her getting on the freeway like, she's an easy lover. And all of a sudden, someone is like, someone's trying to get off and she's just like, oh, good Lord! Grab again.
Stop.
And I still don't. I still don't see her spinning out. I see it going like this.
You did. You spun in circles.
I hand to God. I spun.
Do you know how hard she has to jerk that wheel to get that thing?
Yeah.
How new was the car?
It wasn't that new. It was
okay.
Used.
Well,
it was
maybe
like
a ball tire. So maybe
I don't know. Look, I will say this, and I told you that night I was on the way to the hospital after I found out I had these clots and shit.
Yeah.
There was a guy. I don't know what the fuck he saw. It might have been you. It might have been you. 405 South. We're going up the hill off the 101. This guy's in the carpool lane. And I don't know if it was dark. I don't know if something was in front of him or not. But he just aggressively swerved. And when he did, he lost control too. And he spun. Just like you said, I see it. He spun because he went. I mean, he missed my car by this much, inches. He spun, and ended up on the shoulder of the road facing oncoming traffic.
Yeah,
right.
And I went, are you all right? He's like, I'm okay. And I was like,
I mean, because there was one
like,
car
all right, Sean.
That made me swerve, but there were other. So when I was swerving, I totally lost control, hit the side. It stopped in the fast lane facing oncoming traffic. I opened my eyes, and there was a big lesbian policewoman that pulled right up. She was like coming up right behind me and she stopped the whole I was just lucky that that was the next person that saw me. And then I went on to the commercial audition.
How is the half the car missing?
Wait, here it gets fucking crazy. I rented a car, went on to the commercial audition.
Where the hell did you rent
or took
car?
A cab. I don't even remember. I went on to that and then I went on to the, and I got the pilot.
You did?
Yeah.
Wow. Congratulations.
I don't know how I figured out how I got from the next one. I just fucking was like, I got to get out of this mess and I got to get out from behind a wheel, apparently, Jay.
Yeah.
And stop driving.
Wow. What was the third one?
Third time coming out of Downtown Comedy Club, you know, which used to be on the corner of Shit and Rape a Jew.
Yeah,
in the downtown Los
right
Angeles.
Right there at fucking the homeless camp
off
over
Fifth
there.
Street in Spring. So I was coming out, walking with friends. And this was probably about maybe 5.5, 6 years ago, walking. All of a sudden, I felt this force behind me, and it felt like somebody was firing shots. And I stopped. I go, did I just get shot? And someone had dropped a beer bottle from like the 16th floor, and it missed my head.
Whoa.
And it like the air of it like... That's I felt the force.
Wow!
And then so
is that
because
you're Princess Leia?
Broke, I felt the force.
That's a Princess Leia.
That's a
girl.
Good. That's a good.
That's a good callback.
Yeah,
right there.
Look at that. Approved.
So did it break on your back or no?
No, it broke right behind me. So I
and then
just
sprayed the
it.
Glass sprayed up.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Like 10 people.
That would have killed you.
Bottles. Somebody just
dropped a bottle.
Yeah. That was weird. And that's an embarrassing way to go. Like to be like, how did Sean Pawlowski die? Well,
someone dropped a bottle.
Bottle on her head. Like, I never want to be that person. Like, at least, like, you know, let me battle something.
Listen, if I'm going to die, at least let me announce it.
Yeah. Let her, okay. I want everybody to
let
know.
Let me tell everybody.
And I'm not going solo. It's good.
At least
going.
Let me, you know, swerve across 10 lanes on the freeway.
At least.
Mm-hmm.
Well, listen, we are at that time. Man.
You're never going to drive with me.
This has been I'm never driving.
Or fly.
I'm scared to walk you to your car. thank you so much for coming on. This has been a lot of fun. Will you please one more time plug your special again, your social media, anything you want?
Thank you guys, both of you, definitely for having me. It's been so fun. I'm evaluating what a fucking mess I sound like. I have a 1 hour comedy special. It's called Stretch It Out. You can get it on Amazon, iTunes, on demand. It's also, there's an album too as well of it. You can get it on Xbox, Google Play, Fandango Now, Vimeo. And you can also go to my website. You can find all the means to buy it from my website, which is HaHaChick, HaHaChick.com. And you can follow me on any form of social media at Sean Pawlowski, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat.
Yeah, go see a show because you'll have
so
a good
great
time.
Check the special out for sure.
Oh, thank you guys.
You're welcome.
It's really
thanks
been
for coming
fun.
On. This has been awesome. As always, jlarsoncomedy.com, jlarsoncomedy on all social media.
RyanSickler.com, RyanSickler on all social media. We'll talk to you all next Tuesday.